Is it hateful to say that Bruce Jenner is not a woman?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
This is Michael Brown. Thank you so much for joining us this Monday right here on The Line of Fire. We're going to have a great show today, and then this should be a special week, kind of a historic week here on The Line of Fire. I will be ministering, God willing, in Singapore later this week, some very important national meetings. If you just pray that God would really bless and work in these meetings, that the nation, literally, the nation can be impacted through these meetings. So please be praying with me. And then tomorrow on the Line of Fire broadcast, for the first time ever, my dear friend, colleague, often debating partner and debating adversary, Dr. James White, host of the Dividing Line radio broadcast. He'll be hosting the Line of Fire live tomorrow. First time ever. So I am thrilled. Hey, he's a Calvinist, so I guess God just destined it to happen. Of course, I'm an Arminian. I'd say we both chose for it to happen, but seriously, it should be a great show. And then Wednesday, I want to talk to you about a debate I had last Thursday night with atheist David Smalley on his radio broadcast. We'll even play a few excerpts from that for you on the radio. And then Thursday, Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, and Friday, Dr. Alex McFarland, joined by Jason Jimenez, will be back to host the Line of Fire broadcast. And Monday, as I'm scheduled to travel back from Singapore, it will be Dr. Frank Turek. Always a delight to have these guest hosts on. In particular, it'll be very special to have Dr. White on for the very first time. Over the weekend, I was saying to Nancy, I am so thankful to God that I have a voice. Some things have been happening that are so off the charts, that are so wild, that are hard to even describe. In the natural, they can be very, very frustrating. But by God's grace, I can speak, and by God's grace, I can write, not out of frustration, but out of a burden. I can help equip you to stand and to make a difference in your world. So with that in mind, I want to talk to you about the Bruce Jenner interview on Diane Sora. Sorry, not to attack this man, but to discuss larger issues and to call us to pray for him. I want to talk about an attack against a Christian couple, a Christian company that is now off the charts here in America at a certain level, taking attacks against Bible-believing Christians in America to an all-new low. And then I'll talk to you about some interaction I had on Twitter with TV host, longtime TV host, Montel Williams. Go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Click on latest article. We'll have several new articles coming your way this week, including hopefully, if I'm able to get this out clearly, and it feels good to get out, an open invitation to Montel Williams to debate what the Bible says about LGBT issues and what our responses should be. And the subject of what the Bible says is something that he brought up to me on Twitter. If I have the chronology right in my mind, he brought that subject up to me, challenging a statement that someone else posted to him and copied me on. So whole lot to talk about today. And when we come back, I want you to hear what happened Friday night when I just tweeted out that my heart goes out to Bruce Jenner. When I hear him say that he's a woman, what I hear is I'm confused and hurting. Let's pray for him. You will be amazed to hear the vitriol, the hatred, the ugliness that came. Maybe you won't be amazed, but we want to talk about that constructively right here on The Line of Fire, your listener-sponsored voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in a society in chaos, in a church all too often in compromise. Tell me, friends, is that not more than a slogan? Is not that reality today here in America?
Give up.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, your joyful, blessed host, thankful for this opportunity that we have to be together on The Line of Fire broadcast. By the way, tomorrow is the day when the Supreme Court hears oral arguments on the question as to whether there is a constitutional right to same-sex, quote, marriage, whether this is something that states must recognize, whether a couple that gets married, a same-sex couple that gets, quote, married in another state, whether that, quote, marriage has to be recognized in a state that does not currently recognize that. The implications of this case are huge. Tremendous controversy surrounding it, obviously. Stunning that it's even gotten to this point so quickly here in America. It's not to say that gay men and women don't love each other. It's simply to say that the union is not marriage, has not been marriage, should not be considered marriage. People can be free to pursue relationships they want as long as they don't break the law. But the implications of this could be absolutely massive. And I believe if the court does rule the wrong way, which in the natural looks likely, which is why there's much prayer for God's righteous decision in the courts, but even if they rule the wrong way, it could have the effect of being a Roe v. Wade. In other words, something that galvanizes the pro-family movement, something that wakes up America. Of course, Roe v. Wade has also come with terrible, terrible cost to our nation. There's further controversy because Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg has performed several same-sex, quote, wedding ceremonies, including in the court chambers. And she has even said that this is a right that they should be enjoying. And then Justice Elena Kagan has also performed at least one high-profile homosexual, quote, wedding and was involved in, quote, the queering of Harvard University. So there have been calls for them to recuse themselves, seeing that they cannot be considered impartial and unbiased. Now, it'd take probably a miracle for that to happen. But from my perspective, makes sense. Could you imagine if it was on the other side, what calls would be for Justice Scalia or Justice Thomas or Justice Alito to perhaps recuse themselves if they had done whatever the equivalent would be on our side of the issue? But I'm not going to focus on that further today. Of course, we'll be talking about a lot in the coming days. Many are praying. Many pastors and leaders preached about biblical marriage on Sunday, yesterday, to reinforce this and our understanding and our responsibilities in terms of marriage and family. But the decision is expected late June. All right, so Bruce Jenner, a celebrated Olympic athlete, at one point considered, because of his Olympic victory, the greatest athlete in the world. And obviously, you know, a man, a real man, and father of a number of children and married several times. And, well, of course, in recent months, there's been talk about his appearance changing and then is he transitioning to a woman. And so he finally did an interview on Diane Sawyer, let his heart come out on this, talked about his lifelong struggle in these areas. Do I minimize the struggle? No. God forbid. That would be utterly cruel, heartless, and insensitive. Do I deny that he believes that he is a woman on the inside and that he feels that he is a woman and he feels like a woman as far as he understands what that means? Do I deny that? Why would I deny that? I'm not inside of his skin, and why would he make up a story like that? How does that help him? How does that help anyone close to him? What I'm saying is he's not a woman. He is a man. If he was a woman, he would not have been able to father all of his children, any of his children. If he was a woman, he would not need female hormones to make him into a woman. Well, I tweeted this out Friday night. My heart goes out to Bruce Jenner, and when he says, "I am a woman," I hear him saying, "I am deeply confused and hurting. Let's pray for him." Now, you say, well, what gives you the gall to say that? All I'm saying is this is what I hear. and my heart goes out to him. Let's pray for him. It's not hateful. It's not ugly. It's not an attack. Simply saying, because he is a male, and according to everything we know biologically and genetically, he's a male. According to everything that we know, there's no evidence, scientific evidence that is testable that says he is not a male. So when he says, I am a woman, and then talks about his life history and female hormones years past and things like that, what I personally hear is, I'm deeply confused and hurting. Well, when I posted that, a torrent of attacks came pouring in. Now many favorited it. The tweet, in other words, said, yeah, I agree with that. I like that. Others retweeted it, so they sent it out to their Twitter followers. And many are just so profane, I can't even quote them in a censored way because there would be no words left. But this is what started to come in from those who are hostile. Now, can I read it once more, what I said? My heart goes out to Bruce Jenner. When he says, I am a woman, I hear him saying, I'm deeply confused and hurting. Let's pray for him. So here are some of the attacks that came in. Excuse me. And I'm censoring them, but you'll hear the rest. F you, you disgusting saliva gerbil. What in the world is a saliva gerbil? A disgusting saliva gerbil. I've been called a lot of things, but I haven't been called that before. How about this one? You cranky, scheming, mustachioed clown. And then that was followed by profanity. F you. I don't have the patience for this nonsense anymore. You are the epitome of everything that's wrong here. So what? Why? And just this little sampling. Why the anger? Why the hostility? Why do people react this way when I say something this basic, this simple, and certainly simply giving my perceptions on this? Look, it's just like if I got up and preached my heart out on something and there was some critic there and say, you know, you're just doing that because you have so many doubts. That's why you preach so hard. Well, it's his opinion. Obviously, he's wrong, but that's his opinion. He expresses his opinion. That's fine. And sometimes our opinions are, excuse me, our perceptions are correct and are real. Sorry about that. Just a tickle in my throat there. Hopefully got that untickled. What I wrote was grounded in love. I simply expressed what I heard in his words and a call for prayer. There were other tweets. The language that was used was better, but they were just as ugly. For example, you are a horrible human being. Another, you're disgusting. Another, and all I hear is a bigoted old man who is scared to even think that a person may be different than him. Later in the evening, I responded to some of the comments, even had some very civil exchanges with a few people. I asked the transgender advocates why they discredited those who regretted sex change surgery, who now believe that you cannot change your gender. And then Saturday, I made this comment. Who said that being a man or woman is determined by how one feels? Since when are biology and genetics meaningless? One young man wrote this in response. All caps. You're literally so ignorant. And then, why is your mentality stuck in the 60s? Move forward with time to now. This stuff happens. So I am literally so ignorant because I say that biology and genetics matter. I am, quote, so ignorant, literally so ignorant because I say that being male or female is determined by biology and genetics and not by self-perception. This reminds me again of a few weeks back talking to some transgender advocates who said that it was primitive of me to say that gender was determined by biology and genetics. And that if I thought I was a horse, that I was a horse and could use the stable. And if I, as a white man, thought I was a black man, then I am a black man. Again, it's stunning when you talk to people and they're passionate and they look you in the eyes. It's not that they're on drugs, you know, they're able to have a conversation, and yet what they say defies rationality. It defies logic. It defies facts. It defies all empirical evidence. And ultimately, the sky is the limit because it's whatever I feel. I am not minimizing how deep these issues are. And I'm not denying that there are many who say they're now at home in their body, now that they've had sex change surgery, they're on hormones for the first time in their lives, they're not suicidal. I'm not denying their stories. What I'm saying is it doesn't change the fact that biology and genetics matter, and it doesn't change the fact that the best scenario is to help people from the inside out so they don't have to be on hormones for life, so they don't have to have sex change surgery, and in some cases, so they don't have to look like someone who's now trying to be something that they're not. I don't say that with hate. I say it with love. All right, stay tuned. A lot more to come. God of light,
hear our cry. Send the fire. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I do want to say more about the Bruce Jenner situation. I want to say plainly that I do understand why there's extreme sensitivity about these issues among many, especially those who identify as transgender. Some of you are listening to me now, and you say, you have no idea. Michael Brown, you have no idea. You want me to know the pain you've been through. You want me to know the trauma you've experienced. You want me to know how you were driven to suicide attempts. You want me to know how you've been beaten up and even sometimes found yourself homeless because of your transgender identity. I believe you. I'm not minimizing your suffering. I'm not, God forbid that you think I'm mocking you or demeaning you. I'm simply saying that I believe that gender is determined biologically and genetically. And if our mind does not line up with our body, with our genetics, with the fact that men can do certain things and women can do certain things, females can they have an egg with them, and eggs within them. They have monthly cycles they live through. They have the ability to produce a child and carry it in their womb. Only females can do that. Only males have the seed within them and can father a child. And just to give the most basic things, men are different than women. We understand these things. And therefore, if someone's mind does not line up with biological realities, the best thing we could do is seek to help them be at home in their bodies. Wouldn't that be the best solution? If we were able to do that, wouldn't that be the best solution? If you're a transgender person and you could snap your fingers and be totally at home in the body that God gave you and with the genetics that God gave you, as opposed to the suffering you've been through, as opposed to the lifelong hormone treatments, as opposed to sex change surgery that many of you have gone through, wouldn't it be far better if we could help you from the inside out? You said, we've tried that and it's failed. All I'm saying is, I, for my part, I want to continue to pray that there's a way that's found for transgender-identified people to find wholeness, little children and older adults, without going through all these things. And I'm simply reinforcing the fact that Bruce Jenner is not a woman. And that's why I pray for him, and that's why I feel there's ultimately confusion about his gender identity. I want to come back to this and say a little bit more, but first, in case you haven't heard what happened, oh boy, and again, check my latest articles, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Check my latest articles for the latest on this as well, as along with on Bruce Jenner. Sweet Cakes by Melissa, owned by Aaron and Melissa Klein. Had the pleasure of meeting them at National Religious Broadcasters this past February. All right. They politely declined a lesbian woman who wanted them to bake a cake for her, quote, wedding ceremony with her partner. This happened in 2013. When word got out about this and they were taken to court in Oregon for discrimination based on sexual orientation, the gay activists' attacks were so severe on them. People were told, if you work with them in any way for weddings, for anything, we will boycott you. They had to close their business. They effectively lost their family business. Well, they have five kids, something like that. Okay. So what happened most recently is that this past Friday, a judge in behalf of his bureau or committee ruled and recommended that they should pay $135,000 in fines to this couple. $135,000 in fines. You say that's completely outrageous. They simply said, we can't in good conscience bake a cake. Exactly. That's all they said. In good conscience, we can't bake a cake for a homosexual ceremony. We can't partake in that because we're Christians. Just like a Jewish wedding photographer couldn't shoot a job on the Sabbath. Just like a Muslim caterer couldn't provide pork for a job because of their religious beliefs. Just like Christian videographers couldn't shoot a porn scene for a movie. Well, they couldn't participate in a same-sex, quote, wedding ceremony. What's the big shock about that? $135,000 fine. Oh, but the story gets crazier. The basis of the fine was that the lesbian couple submitted a list of 178, not 7, not 8, not 17 or 18, but 178 symptoms of their emotional suffering as a result of the client saying they couldn't bake the cake, 90 from one of the ladies and 88 from the other. As Kelsey Harkness reported, examples of symptoms include acute loss of confidence, doubt, excessive sleep, felt mentally raped, dirty and shameful, high blood pressure, impaired digestion, loss of appetite, migraine headaches, pale and sick at home after work, resumption of smoking habit, shock, stunned, surprise, uncertainty, weight gain, and worry. Because a Christian bakery said it's contrary to our religious beliefs to participate in a same-sex wedding. Are you kidding me? If these ladies are not making this up and they literally believe that all these things in their lives are the result of this, they've got some deep problems. We all get rejected. I'm a Jewish believer in Jesus. I've been rejected for decades. Family, friends, different ones. Rabbis literally turning their backs on me when I went to talk to them. Jewish bookstore refusing to sell books to our school because we were Messianic Jews. One time I subscribed to a phone-based teaching. This is days before the internet. You'd call in and listen to a teaching from a rabbi in the Talmud every day. When they found out that it was me, I didn't use my name, but when they realized who I was, they changed all the phone numbers. They gave them out to everybody else, but changed them to block me and then didn't charge me after that. I was talking to an Orthodox Jew one time. He got so upset with me as we were traveling on the Long Island Railroad. He spat in my face and took my Hebrew Bible and threw it across the train car. What's the big deal? What, we all get rejected. We all have people that don't like us. We all have things that go against us. But to have this litany of problems, and there have been 178 and then $135,000 fine, it's outrageous. And then what happens? A page is put up on GoFundMe to support the clients. Within 8 hours, it raises over $109,000. And then a competitor of Sweet Cakes by Melissa writes to GoFundMe, says, this is outrageous. They've been found guilty of discrimination. And look at all these anonymous cowards, and the money they're giving is disgusting. And GoFundMe drops. They just shut down the campaign. Friends, this is outrageous. Thankfully, Frank and Graham, Samaritan's Purse, has set up a website to donate to the clients. But this is outrageous. It's wake up time. It's wake up time, America, Church of America. It's wake up time. It's holy, loving, firm, immovable, prayerful, pushback time. All right, friends, go to my website. Very special resource offer this week at askdrbrown.org and check out the latest articles.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Save the nation. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Michael Brown here. Welcome back to the line of fire. If I say things that get you frustrated, pent up, your blood boils, take it to the Lord in prayer. God is not flustered. God is not shaken. God is not shaky. God is not worried. Go to your Father and say, Father, I'm upset. This stuff grieves me. How can this be happening on our watch here in America? And then pray for the people involved, those that have done wrong, those that have acted foolishly, those that have acted unjustly, those that have been cruel towards others. Pray for them. Pray for the blessing and fullness and grace of God to flood their hearts. Pray for Aaron and Melissa Klein. Right now, they are one of many, many, many in America and some other nations as well who are suffering similar fates. I truly believe that the holy pushback is rising. My new book due out later this year, Outlasting the Gay Revolution, will lay out 8 clear principles for long-term cultural change. In my articles, I'll give you practical steps that you can take and attitudes that you can take on as we stand together for righteousness, as we pray for those who persecute us. Yes, admittedly, this is persecution on a very different level than those who are being beheaded and thrown in prison. But when you lose your job, when you lose your business, when your family livelihood is threatened, when you suddenly become the subject of vile and ugly attacks, when you are not necessarily the kind of people who are looking for a public battle, and you'd rather just do what you do and live your lives quietly, this is traumatic, this is difficult, and I don't minimize it. So we pray for Aaron and Melissa Klein. We pray for others who have suffered similar fates. And we pray that God would turn everything for good. Everything meant for evil, that God would turn for good. I think of my dear friends, David and Jason Benham, very close to them. We get to interact on a very regular basis, and I have the joy of pouring into their lives. And of course, they're a great example and inspiration to many. But here they suffer real hardship. They are approached out of the blue by some reality TV recruiting people. They're not looking for this. They're not thinking about it. People say that you could be reality TV stars and your family with you. Two different shows competing, or two different networks competing. They end up getting a contract with HGTV, and they restructure a lot of what's happening in their business so they can devote time to this, and it's going to have a great redemptive story. And then, even though their views were known all the months that discussion was going on, that they were strongly pro-life and strongly pro-family, when the show was actually announced, the backlash came against it. And one day, HGTV is telling them, you're going to be stars. Next day, HGTV is saying, we dropped the show before it even went on. And just, about 2 episodes into their recording, this was a great financial cost to the Benhams, and a tremendous amount of time and effort and energy put into this. And obviously, you know, they're human beings. The idea of being stars, well-known, it's like, okay, that gives us a platform for the gospel. That's exciting. That means more people know who we are. That means there are more people we can talk to about Jesus. That's wonderful. And hopefully our families can be examples to others. That's a disappointment. But instead, they praise God. It's like a kick in the stomach, but they praise God. They went forward. They kept their attitudes pure. They bless, not curse. They bless HGTV, and don't curse them. And because of this rejection, God has catapulted them into a place they never would have been in. As national spokesmen for righteousness, for family, for morality, and they have a voice of courage, and they reach across the generations, and they've already written a book, Whatever the Cost, I believe another book to come soon. So look, what Satan means for evil, God turns for good. What people mean for evil, what society means for evil, what the world means for evil, what's meant to hurt us will help us. The stumbling blocks become stepping stones if we walk with the Lord and honor the Lord. Again, I believe it is time for a holy pushback here in America. Back to Bruce Jenner on the other side of the break.
Flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You are tuned in to the right radio station at the right time. This is Michael Brown. Thank you for joining us. Earlier in the broadcast, I mentioned that Friday night, I tweeted out this simple message after excerpts from the Bruce Jenner interview with Diane Sawyer were being played and quotes were being printed. I said, my heart goes out to Bruce Jenner, and when he says, I am a woman, I hear him saying, I am deeply confused and hurting. Let's pray for him. The extreme and even irrational hostility that came my way was off the charts. I do understand it's a very sensitive area. I do understand, not from firsthand experience, but from a family member talking to me about this once, giving firsthand experience of the agony that they lived with, struggling with their gender identity, reading stories of others, watching documentaries about children and you know, wanting to mutilate themselves as children and parents afraid they're going to try to kill themselves. These are not issues to minimize, and there's nothing in my statement that minimized it. To the contrary, I took this very seriously. The vitriol, the hatred that came my way indicated to me that this is a larger cultural issue, that this is part of a larger ideological struggle where those who categorically reject our biblical and moral and family values and emphasis on gender distinctives and things like that, that there is extreme hostility towards our side. I do understand that if I was mocking those who identified as transgender, why there would be reactions like this. I do understand, as I said earlier in the show, the great sensitivities that exist in what would be called the transgender community. And to this very moment, some are suffering acutely and say, Michael Brown, you have no idea what we're going through. I do know that I've spoken at length to others who were transgendered and not any longer. I do know that there's a steady stream of those with sex change regret. I do know that the percentage of those who commit suicide after sex change surgery is still extremely high. And my heart goes out to people, and I said, I want to pray for wholeness from the inside out. Others tweeted, you're a horrible human being, you're disgusting, and on it goes. Why do I believe that these tweets, these responses point to an irrational hatred and anger more than to a caring disagreement? The nature of it is such that it goes beyond rational differences. When you can't even dialogue with someone without them just maligning you and demeaning you and insulting you and bashing the Bible and bashing God and bashing our beliefs, it tells you there's something deeper going on. But let me go a little further with this. And Nancy and I were talking about this over the weekend. All right. I've documented for years that within the LGBT community, there is often a war on gender itself. Gender becomes the enemy. Gender is what boxes people in. Sweden now has a gender-neutral pronoun. Schools in Sweden are commissioned with deconstructing gender stereotypes. Parents have been encouraged by some activists to use different names for their kids. There are X number of thousands of approved names that people can use for their kids. I never knew you had to get an approved name in Sweden, but I guess it's, you know, the bulk of all the names or all the names that are commonly used or have been used. But there's a movement to say, look, use boys' names for girls and girls' names for boys. So name the girl Michael and name the boy Nancy. So that's Sweden. There are schools in America. One I documented years ago, the New York Times reported on them, 7-8 years ago, that they line up children by sneaker color rather than by gender because they don't want to, quote, put kids in a box. They want to move around back and forth until they feel right, until they feel it at home. We've documented how some kids say they change their gender based on the event they're going to, and they may be he at one and she at the next, depending on how they feel. Some of them said it's a pushback, their way to push back and rebel against the dominant society. And on it goes, the so-called gender binary. you know, where you're forced into either being male or female, and many don't fit within that, or some are both, some are neither. And on it goes. Well, isn't it ironic? Isn't it ironic that the same ones that say, well, who says boys play with football and girls play with princess dolls? That's so sexist and out of date. Those are the same ones when a little boy plays with a princess doll, they say, oh, he's really a girl on the inside. When a little girl plays with a football, oh, she's really a boy on the inside. How can that be? Isn't that ironic? Isn't that extremely hypocritical? So Bruce Jenner tells Diane Sawyer that he thinks the way a woman would think, he feels the way a woman would think. He's not accused of gender stereotyping. What do you mean you think the way a woman would think? You feel the way a woman would feel. What do you mean? That's gender stereotyping. That's heterosexist to think like that. And you're just thinking these old bigoted patriarchal terms, male and female. Blah, blah, blah. No, they don't say that. They say, oh, no, you see, he really is a woman. He's recognizing his real gender. Isn't that extraordinary? Now, look, I truly believe that LGBT activists will continue to overplay their hand and that our society will come back to its senses. I believe we'll have greater sensitivity to the struggles endured by trans-identified people, but I believe that we will recover our senses and think, what kind of madness is this? Where a boy who identifies as a girl can play on the girls' softball team in high school and use the girls' locker room, and a city is going to declare all of its bathrooms gender neutral. What kind of madness is this? I believe we will come back to our senses, but for now, what do we have to do? Well, we walk in love towards everyone. Then we stiffen our spines. We stand up for what's right. We're fervent in prayer. And we continue to speak the truth, knowing that ultimately truth will triumph. And may I encourage everyone to pray for Bruce Jenner. You say, what do I pray? Pray for God's very best for his life. Now, someone sent me a link where one of Bruce Jenner's daughters is saying, oh, no, it's just false reports, myths, that we are not totally supporting him. No, that's a myth. Is it a hard adjustment? Yes, but we're supporting him. What struck me was that the daughter was still calling him, whereas others are already calling him her. In other words, whatever you say you are, you are. Again, I don't think he's making it up. Why would he make something like this up? Look, it's one thing to be some teenager and you're 14, and you think you're going to push back against the system, and this is the way to say it, and you're going to identify as a girl even though you're a boy or vice versa, or you just think it's cool, or you just think it's different, or you're just trying to get people to look at you differently or provoke something. But the vast majority of people, they're not thinking, I'm going to choose to do that. It's costing them a tremendous amount. It's agonizing. But let's pray for Bruce Jenner, for God's very best in his life. As I was tweeting some messages out Friday and Saturday, one of the points that I made was, and one of the questions I asked was, why don't you listen to those who had sex change surgery and now regret it? Why don't you listen to those who have struggled terribly in this area and who minister to people like this? And why not listen to these other voices? Why discredit them? Why demonize them? Well, someone must have copied that to Montel Williams, and then Montel Williams, in turn, responded, said, whose voices? And so I began to clarify things, and ended up a fairly extensive interaction. Some hours later, he just posted a message just to me saying that we're reading different Bibles, to me and a few others, but address me as Doc, that we're reading different Bibles. So I want to come back to some of our interaction on Twitter. And I said, well, let's debate these. He says to me point blank, do you or do you not agree with pray away the gay? And I said, why use that phrase? That's a phrase created by critics. That's a phrase created by critics to mock our position. I said, what I do believe in is someone's right to self-determination. And what I do believe in is a client's right to counseling, if he or she chooses counseling. You say, well, yeah, if you're a white man, you can't self-determine to be black. True. But there are other things I could self-determine. I could self-determine how I feel about being white. And I could self-determine that I want to speak with a counselor. And perhaps I believe I'm black and I'm white. I can self-determine that I want to get to the root of that and get help with that. Montel Williams threw out some of the standard things. You keep all the rest of the laws in Leviticus. And, you know, I must be reading a different Bible than him. What about don't judge? So I'm going to write an open letter to Montel and say, hey, let's have a public debate on what the Bible says about these issues. Why not?
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, I'm looking at this Twitter dialogue with Montel Williams. And hey, I appreciate Montel Williams taking the time to interact. That impressed me that he's interacting like this on social media. But someone had suggested to him copy Diane Sawyer and said, why not give a voice to these others? He said, give whom a voice? I said, those who had sex change surgery only to have terrible regret. He said, in the context, that's the result of societal intolerance. If I'm getting this thread right. He said, reading all the comments on my Facebook regarding Bruce Jenner posts is both refreshing and infuriating. Again, it's hard to follow some of these threads here on Facebook, but he was challenging me for being anti-LGBT, and I said, can't there be other sides to the story based on love? He said, but still, he would tell the story of those who had sex change surgery and regretted it. I think that's very, very positive that he said he'd do it. Hopefully, he would do it in a fair and non-hostile way. Some of our interaction continued here. This notion of pray away LGBT deeply, he has all caps, deeply offends me as a Christian. And I said, are you saying that Jesus cannot change our deepest desires and attractions? He said, no, in fact, the opposite. If God wanted to do that, there would be no LGBT people. So I replied, but if God created people to practice homosexuality, why does his word forbid it? He said, so you live all the rules of Leviticus? Anyway, so then I posted, okay, here's where you can watch a quick video, 1 minute, where I respond to that. And the rest of the Bible, the New Testament as well as the Old, reinforces the prohibition against homosexuality. But hopefully, Montel will be open to have some further dialogue and discussion. A number of people, of course, threw at me, look, the Bible says don't judge. Actually, at my last count, there were a few more verses in the Bible than just don't judge. But what does it mean? Does that mean that we shouldn't have judged the slave traders of committing atrocities against fellow human beings? Don't judge. We shouldn't judge human traffickers today who are selling 13-year-old girls into sex slavery and a certain death in a few years? Don't judge. We shouldn't. We judge every day. We make judgments every day. Tell the courts, don't judge, Mr. Judge, don't judge. No, we rely on judgment. We rely on right judgment, on fair judgment. When Jesus said in Matthew 7:1, don't judge lest you be judged with the same measure you judge others, you'll be judged yourself, then urges us not to be hypocrites and take the beam out of our own eye before we go to take the speck out of someone else's eye. He's telling us don't judge hypocritically, don't judge superficially. And don't condemn. And he's saying, judge others the way you want them to judge you. He says in John 7:24, don't judge by outward appearance, but judge righteous judgment. The whole world would fall apart if we didn't have righteous judgment. I am not judging Bruce Jenner as a human being and saying he is not a fellow human being. I'm not judging Bruce Jenner and saying he's making things up, or he's an especially sinful man because he wants to become a woman. He believes he's a woman. I'm not judging him for that. I am saying, I am using righteous judgment to say
that when biology and genetics tell you that you are male, and when you father children, and when you need to take female hormones to have a feminine body characteristics, that you are not a woman. That's not judging someone. When I say that God does not sanction homosexual relationships, I'm not judging people. I'm simply affirming what God says in His Word. So I'd love to debate these issues. Okay, so Montel Williams, well-known, long-time talk TV host, obviously with a big following. But I just checked. I was curious. Our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, is just about 100,000 now. If you're not one of our Facebook quote fans, go there. Go to Facebook and like Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown on Facebook, and you'll be very close to being one of the ones that gets to 100,000. I think Montel Williams maybe has 105,000. He's a lot more on Twitter. He's like 144,000 on Twitter. I've just got 14,000. But I bet I'm writing more, and my articles are read more. And then I've got a great radio audience. So all that to say, I think, he doesn't have the education in terms of biblical education like that. But if he's a student of the Word, if he says he loves God and he's a Christian, then he has every right to discuss what the Word says, regardless of academic education. So why not? Let's do it. Let's enlighten people. Come on the radio with me. I can go on his show with him, or we can do a formal moderated debate or a good interactive debate. Why not? All right, listen, please remember to pray for me. Ministering in Singapore later this week, some meetings that could be of real importance for the coming years to that nation. Dr. James White, guest hosting tomorrow, the first time my dear Calvinist friend will be guest hosting on the Line of Fire. Very rare we have guest hosts at all. I'm thrilled to have James White. Wednesday, be playing some excerpts from my radio debate with atheist David Smalley and talking about atheism. Thursday, Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, and then Friday, Dr. Alex McFarland and Jason Jimenez will be joining us as guest hosts, and then Dr. Frank Turek a week from Friday, he of the I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist fame. So some special broadcasts, and be praying tomorrow as the Supreme Court hears oral arguments regarding same-sex so-called marriage. All right, I've got a question for you. Why do religious Jews, the men, why do they wear a head covering called the kippah in Hebrew or yarmulke? And why do Jewish food laws go beyond the food laws in the Bible? And how do those food laws apply to us today? What about the Sabbath? Did God give that at creation for all mankind? If so, how come the church observes Sunday rather than Saturday? How'd that happen? Does God want everyone to keep the Sabbath? And what's the difference between an Orthodox Jew, a conservative Jew, and a Reformed Jew? And what do Jewish people believe about the Messiah? And is it true that Jesus' name in Hebrew was Yeshua, or is it Yahshua? I mean, if it's got the Yahweh element in it, why isn't it Yeshua? And why are Messianic Jewish leaders, congregational leaders, often called rabbis? Is that right? Didn't Jesus say, don't call anyone rabbi? And are the Palestinians really related to the Philistines? Or are they kind of like the ancient Canaanites who were in the land before Israel got there? And is Israel some kind of evil occupier? For answers to all these questions, get my book. You will thoroughly enjoy this book. 60 questions Christians ask about Jewish beliefs and practices. Dive in. Any, just go to the table of contents. Oh, I've always wondered about that. Oh, that. Go there chapter by chapter, question by question. You'll thoroughly enjoy the book, along with my two-hour DVD, A Lecture at University of South Florida, Is Israel an Evil Occupier, including questions from Muslims and Palestinians in the audience after that. We've really cut the price for both of these resources to the bone. $25, postage paid. Call 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978, or go to Ask Dr. Brown. We'll tell you more in a video as well, AskDrBrown.org. My bottom line today, it is truthful, not hateful, to say Bruce Jenner is not a woman. It is a call of love to say, let us pray for this man, loved by God, and for whom Jesus died.